Well, we are going to wade right into the controversies today, but we'll bring you clarity through the Word of God.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, Jesus said in John chapter 18, my kingdom world, if it was of this world, then my disciples would fight for it, fight for me. It's not of this world. Paul writes in Philippians 3 that our citizenship is in heaven. Are we getting too worldly when we get involved in social issues of the day? Are we getting too worldly when we get involved in politics? Are we missing our calling? Are we missing God's purposes for us? Or is this how the gospel intersects every area of life? And we're taking those verses out of context to mean something different. This is Michael Brown. You're listening to The Line of Fire. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let me talk candidly with you from the heart. And I've got a little extra time. We had a guest that was going to be joining us and had to cancel out last minute. So just freeze up some of this time so I can speak with you from my heart. So I've got a question for you. This broadcast, The Line of Fire, we are called, I believe, called by God to do what we do, and not to be a duplicate of other shows that are doing a great job doing what God's called them to do. In other words, there are settings where I preach. There are settings where I teach. There are settings where I do outreach. And all of those have their place. And there are great radio shows that are just Christian teaching, Christian preaching, or maybe some that are designed for outreach. This show has multiple purposes. Our goal is to serve as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. So especially during the elections, at a critical time like this, we've sought to weigh in with a godly perspective, a biblical perspective on what's happening in the society and what's happening in America, on getting God's perspective on that. How do we respond as believers to vote or not to vote? How to vote? How to respond to the election of Donald Trump? What these things mean? So that as believers living in this world, we can live intelligently, we can live wisely, and we can be a voice. First Chronicles 12 talks about the sons of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. And that's one of the things that we pray and seek to be, is to be like the sons of Issachar, to understand the times and to know what we, God's people, should do. And we constantly get folks writing and saying, thank you. You were a voice of sanity for us during these elections. Thank you. You helped us keep biblical clarity. Thank you for weighing in. Others say, hey, man, you're mixing the gospel with politics. You're mixing your calling. Now listen, I'm going to do what I believe God wants me to do. I take godly counsel, listen to those close to me, I listen to critics, listen to friends, but above all, I'm going to do my best to understand, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want us to do with this ministry, with this radio broadcast? And I'm going to do my best to be obedient to that. What I want to know is on your end. I've asked this every so often over the years. I think it's a ripe time to ask it now. On your end, is this what you need to hear? On your end, do these things help you? On your end, if I said to you, hey, we are not talking about politics anymore. We're not talking about social issues, cultural issues, none of that. I'm just going to teach and preach scripture, and that's all we're going to do on this broadcast, and take your questions about the Bible. Would you say, ah, what a breath of fresh air? Or would you say, I'm talking about for you. But I'm not asking you what God wants me to do. That's for me to sort out with the Lord, and I feel quite certain about that. But for you, how does this impact you? How does what we do fit a need in your life, or is it something that distracts you from the things of God? Give me a call, 866-348-7884. Do you personally find it helpful that we address cultural, political issues here on this broadcast on Christian Radio? We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today. The gospel and politics, the gospel and social, cultural, moral issues, do they intersect? If so, how? Would you rather that your pastor address these things more? If he addresses them all the time, would you rather that he address them less? 866-348-7884. Again, I live before the Lord just as you live before the Lord. And we're each accountable to our master. I'm not accountable to you in that regard. You're not accountable to me in that regard. If you have a boss that you work for and the boss says, I want you in at 5 in the afternoon and you leave at midnight, those are your working hours. That's what your boss requires. And if my boss requires me to be working from 6 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon, that's what I do. So I'm accountable to my boss, you're accountable to your boss, if we're just using that analogy. So I'm not asking you to tell me what you believe God is calling me to do. That's for me to sort out with the Lord. And again, I'm quite certain that we're doing what he's called us to do. And he's spoken about many of these things for years to me, and he's given us favor as we've stepped into them. What I'm asking is in your life, when we address the political controversies forthrightly, in your life, when we address the social and moral issues forthrightly, do you find this helpful? Is this the kind of thing you say, yeah, thank God you're on the air doing this? Or you say, man, I wish you just teach the Bible only, and that's the only thing you did. 866-348-7884. I'm going to go to the phones momentarily. Very interesting appointment for Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. Boy, I didn't see that coming weeks back with all the different candidates from potential people from Rudy Giuliani to Mitt Romney to John Bolton to others. Really didn't see that coming at all. Didn't know Rex Tillerson by name otherwise. And then they said he was maybe a dark horse candidate. Then in recent days became the primary choice. Obviously, he has vast experience as the CEO of one of the biggest companies in America, Exxon. And he has good working relationships, even personal relationship with Vladimir Putin and Russia. Is this positive for a Secretary of State in that there are certain bridges that are already built? Or is this a real negative because someone in these shoes may have a favorable attitude predisposed to Russia, to Vladimir Putin? These are questions I can't answer. These are questions I'm looking at and evaluating myself and wondering about. And of course, Congress will have to approve him. But thus far, all of the candidates that have been put forward with the Republican majority, it's basically a shoo-in for all of them to get in. What about interesting questions? Now, one other thing about Rex Tillerson, I already saw gay websites attacking him, and they were upset about this because they said Exxon is one of the worst companies in America when it comes to supporting LGBT activism. And in fact, it wasn't until basically this directive from the Obama administration last year to put certain things in law within their company that they did that. Now, in my view, they've been doing the right thing all along. They haven't bowed down to the pressure of gay activism. There's no evidence of them being hateful to others, but simply they haven't bowed down to the pressure of gay activism. On the other hand, Rex Tillerson, apparently part of the board with the Boy Scouts, the former Eagle Scout himself, voted to allow openly gay boys into the Boy Scouts. And basically said, that's it, and that's the policy, we move forward. So I don't know where he stands on those issues. My hope would be that under no circumstances would he follow in the footsteps of Hillary Clinton, who as Secretary of State put pressure on other countries and even offended leaders all over Africa by basically saying, you're going to go our way or there are going to be penalties for it. My words, my paraphrase. 866-34-TRUTH, the gospel and politics. How much intersection is there in a show like this? Do you find it helpful? Do you find it meeting a need in your own life. Again, we're talking about how this impacts you. When we talk about these issues, when we weigh in, of course, I'm writing about this day and night, and I write out of a sense of burden. I write out of a sense of calling to address things, to put them on the table, to seek to bring perspectives. Where is it written that believers should have no voice when it comes to the political scene? The fact that our citizenship is in heaven means that we live in this world as sojourners or exiles, but we still live in this world. Jesus said, the Great Commission is go and make disciples of the nations, right? Go and make disciples of the nations. My question is, okay, then how do disciples live? How do disciples live? If we are citizens of another country, let's say we're American citizens and we're living in Russia or we're living in China, how do we live? How do we live as believers in another setting, in another context? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's start with Canal in Washington, D.C. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Okay, so
go ahead, please.
What I wanted to say was I definitely believe that there's a place for politics, and I understand that we're living in a fleshly world. So we do have to concern ourselves with things of the flesh. It's just like saying that you have to hunger and thirst for righteousness, but then you don't eat food. So there's definitely a balance of both worlds happening. I do like that you talk about politics, but in the context of what about God? That's my always yep. my question about things, is that I just don't want to hear about it when people take God out of it. People are always trying to take God out of everything, and it's upsetting to me, and it's something that I don't want to hear when, if you're going to talk about politics to me, talk about what about God. I know a lot of people from where I live are upset about the Donald Trump thing, and it's hard for people who were actually in support of it for biblical reasons in terms of God is the one who appoints leaders of nations. Secondly, I like the fact that he claimed that he was against abortion. And this is coming from somebody who used to have a completely different view before I developed a very close relationship with God, and somebody who has had an abortion, who has been raped, who has had these sort of adversities happen, which is why I was rationalizing those things. But I realized that I was not responsible enough to make that type of decision, because it is very heart-wrenching to have an abortion. If somebody could have avoided, you know, me from doing that, that would have been nice.
Yeah, let me say this. First, I'm thrilled to hear of your relationship with the Lord, pained to hear about the past and what you've been through in the past, but thrilled to hear about your relationship with the Lord and how that's changed your perspective. And obviously Donald Trump's perspective on abortion has changed. And many found it very difficult to vote because they're trying to vote as believers. Do I vote? Do I not vote? I have convictions about this, but I have concerns about this. So yeah, our whole thing is, as believers, to talk these things through, bringing God into the center of everything. Absolutely. To just talk politics or social issues, might as well just talk sports in that regard. But yes, the whole goal is to have God in the center of what we do and then to use that as perspective. Thank you so much for the call, and thank you for your walk with the Lord. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Diane in Charlotte. You're on the Line of Fire. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for accepting my call. I agree with the young lady that just went off. We have to take everything that we do, and it has to go through God. We can't leave him out. And as we see in the society, in the general society, where they have left God out, we've got chaos. We've got chaos. And I thank you because it helps me think. I may not always agree with everything that you say, but it still gives me something to think about. It gives me a better way of looking at it. It helps me to understand what Christ is actually saying to us, how we are to live. We are not citizens of this world, but we are here, and we must let our light shine. We must be the salt and light, and we have to do it according to his word, and we just can't leave him out.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. I appreciate your words, and I'm so glad to hear that. And listen, Diane, my wife doesn't agree with everything I say, so you're in good company there. But that's the thing, that the whole thing is to get us thinking as believers. That's the whole goal, get us thinking as believers. And look, this is the world we live in. Your kids come home from school with issues they face in school. You know, you deal with issues in the workplace. You deal with issues in society around us. If all we did was say, hey, look, I know this is going on in your life, but John 3:16 is the only verse in the Bible. No, of course I want to lead everyone to Jesus, but there's a whole Bible. That Bible addresses our lives holistically. So let's live as believers and be salt and light and intersect with society around us. Hey, thank you for calling.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You want to hear something cute? This is neat. So as we're talking about what we do on the radio, the gospel intersecting with politics, our role here and how it helps you or not helps you, a website sends me a note from a brother I've known over the years. Dear Michael, are you sure you want to cross over to being a daily political commentator rather than speak primarily to spiritual issues? Perhaps he hasn't followed me closely for almost the last decade, but I've been doing both. And to me, I'm never stepping away from spiritual issues, just looking at how these spiritual issues interface with the rest of society. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. Okay, real quick story. I never got to it yesterday. We had some problems with the audio on the show yesterday. We're looking at it from every angle to try to figure out where the problem was. But we had some problems because of which we ended up switching to another show partway through. I never got to tell this quick little story, but this to me was very sweet. So allow me this quick tangent here. So I'm in Italy. It was 4 days in Israel, and 2.5 days in Italy. So I'm in Italy, and I'm getting up to speak at the first session. A dear friend of mine, Avner Boski, had spoken before me because I got in late and was just trying to get a little extra sleep in the morning and time zone changes from India. So I missed his session, and I come in to do mine. We're both talking about Israel and the church and so on. And as I'm talking, I said, you know, it's not normally good to use jokes in other cultures because they don't work. I said, but you can tell a funny story. People get that. But jokes often don't work. I said, but let me do it. And bear in mind, it's my 24th trip to Italy. Bear in mind, I've spoken hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times in Italy. Okay. And so I decide for the first time ever, I am now going to use this joke. And it's heaven is like, what would heaven be like? And the joke is Italian cooking, German engineering, French romance, and British organization. And if you've been around the world, you know the humor of this. And hell would be like Italian organization, German romance, French engineering, and British cooking. So I'm about to tell the joke. I said, should I? Shouldn't I? I said, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. And I start. And as I start, everybody starts laughing. I thought, oh, they get this. It turns out that Avner used the same joke in his message at the beginning. So I've all my trips there, I've never used it overseas. You know, I've never done it. And we were all hysterical. I said, you know, this is what happens when two Jews preach. This is how God gives supernatural confirmation. We each tell the same joke unbeknownst to the other. So it was just a sweet little moment, and I thought it doesn't prove anything, but it was neat to experience that together. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Richmond, Virginia. Teresa, you're on the line of fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I wanted to answer basically, stay on topic of what your question was, and it's pretty much should you be well-rounded and in Christianity, which is politics, the Word of God, top of the line, Word of God with you always, politics and different issues. Now, from my perspective, I find that you haven't said anything that was inaccurate yet. And I'll follow you as long as you follow Christ. And when you get off track, then that's the reason to back off. But Christ, God created the heavens and the earth. He created all of us and everything therein. The government is on his shoulders. So if you preach or if you teach politics, if you teach about homosexuality and you drawing people to Christ, where can that be wrong? We need to be well-rounded. We need to be, have information from different perspectives. And you keep it right in line with the Word. You have never taken the Word out of it. So I say keep up the good work. And, yes, stay well-rounded. I mean, you're not just a preacher, and God did not save you to be just a preacher. You know, exactly what you were saying earlier when I got in my car and I was so excited. I was like, I found Dr. Brown, because I had lost you on the radio for a long time.
Oh.
But nonetheless, stay well-rounded in Christ, because that's exactly what you are. And you just keep doing what you're doing. And I'm not going to hold you up because I'm late for my lunch. So.
All right. Thanks for delaying your lunch, and thanks for the good word. And I love the way you put it, being well-rounded. I mean, we do live in this world. Look, I just got back from India and Italy. I'm preaching Jesus, but here I'm in India. I'm in India. And pastors, I have a small meeting with pastors in Mumbai. And what do they want me to address? Gay and lesbian issues. They say, we're getting hit with this. Gay and lesbian issues. How do we deal with them? In society, in the church. Hey, thank you very much. I'm glad we reconnected, Teresa. 866-348-7884. We go to Massachusetts. Dina, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I am very grateful that your show is on. It does put a light on a lot of things that we are dealing with in the world. Godly, you know, from a godly perspective, and as a Christian, helpful to be to have these kind of other believers. So I do feel that it is helpful, and even the various that you cover. You know, the one thing I will just say is in agreement with the last three ladies, definitely the two before, is that, you know, I don't always agree with some of the things that you say. For me, though, it's really just in the way that it's said, the tone. You know, you're following Christ. I believe that. I can hear that. It's really evident. At the same time, there's a way that you can to get your message across to believers and non-believers, to get people to be in agreement. You know, so, you know, we're not in disagreement. You know, it is, you know, the word that says, you know, that, you know, it's difficult to be around people if you're not going to be in agreement, if you can't be in agreement. Not to say that everyone should agree with you.
Right.
At the same time, reach more if people can understand you and understand where you're coming from, and it's the way that you say what you say.
I appreciate that, Dina, and let me just jump in because we've got a break coming up. Look, radio is a unique animal in this regard. You know, when I was in Italy and India preaching, there were people that were there specifically for those meetings. And the vast majority believers in harmony with what I had to say, and they just wanted me to take them deeper and challenge them further in God. You're dealing with radio, and you get a lot of folks who totally agree with you, and others who partially agree, and others who deeply disagree, and people listening for all kinds of different reasons. And again, everybody has their purpose on the air, but we're determined to be faithful to God's purpose for us to be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. And that means also doing our best to interact with those who differ. Hey, thank you for the call. Remember, friends, this week, all of our DVDs, every one of our DVDs is 25% off on the website. So go to thelineoffire.org. Check that out today.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us on the line of fire, 866-348-7884. I had a guest that was going to be on with me during this first hour, had to cancel out last minute. Allowed me to expand my topic a little bit and take more of your calls. And just the way it worked out, we take the calls in the order in which they came in, unless there's a reason not to. Otherwise, we take the calls in the order they came in. So it just so happened that all the first callers were female and the next callers are male. So it's not that we intentionally did it like that. That's just what happened. 866-348-7884. Here's what prompted me to address this question about the intersection of gospel and politics. I posted an article last night and this morning, different websites, on why many Americans trust Donald Trump more than the CIA. We talked about it on the air yesterday. And it turns out when it comes to the question of Russian hacking of U.S. computers and emails, and what was the intent of their hacking, that there are differences within the intelligence society. The other intelligence organizations say, no, we don't have evidence of that, and differing with the CIA reports. The FBI had certain questions. So anyway, this is a much larger subject. And then if, in fact, there was hacking by Russia, what was the intent of it? What was the purpose? Was it to hurt American politics in general? Was it to hurt Hillary Clinton, help Donald Trump? Neither. So these are things that are certainly debatable. But anyway, I was writing about that. And a friend posted on Facebook, an old friend. In fact, I worked for him the first time I taught at the Bible school. He was the director of the school in the 80s. And he just sent a kind note, you know, loving everything I'm doing, but telling me I shouldn't get involved in politics the way I do. And I said, hey, preaching around the world, taking the gospel to the nations, raising up disciples, doing outreach, and addressing these issues in obedience to God, with overwhelming support from folks in doing it. Now, doesn't mean because we get overwhelming support for addressing issues that it's right. I do things because I believe God called me to do them. The very fact that we're on the radio is part of that open door. The very fact that we have these various websites where we can post our articles and they get such great responses, it's part of the open door. But it's meaningful to me when I feel called to do a particular thing. Think of your own life here, and then I'm going to go back to your calls shortly. Think of your own life. You feel called by the Lord to do a certain thing. You feel divine favor on that. He opens doors for you. And then, as you do what you feel he called you to do, you see great fruit. Let's say you had a burden to reach kids in broken homes in your neighborhood. And you started this program, say, for the boys, you're a guy, and you started this program playing basketball with them, doing this and that. And you really believe that as you do that, they'd start to blossom and come alive, and you'd be able to mentor them and bring them to church. And 6 months later, you got 8 kids that love to spend time with you and love to do Bible study with you, and their lives are being transformed. That would be confirmation to you that God was blessing your efforts, no? Well, the same way, this part of our ministry, we get constant letters, emails, people posting, thanking us for addressing issues, especially through the volatile election season when we focused on these things even more. Otherwise, we weren't talking politics as much as we were talking just moral, cultural, social issues. But all that to say, we're doing this in obedience to the Lord by his grace and calling and seeing good fruit from it. So when we interact with you about these things, again, it's not for you to say, Mike, we believe God's calling you to do this, as much as to say, hey, this helps me. No, this doesn't help me. Yeah, this is why I listen. I'd listen more if not for this. So that's why we're interacting, to see how these things impact you. Okay, we come back. We're going straight to the phones. 866-34-TRUTH.
The light. Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Let's go back to the phones. We start in Minneapolis with Paul. Welcome, sir, to the Line of Fire.
Hey, good afternoon, Dr. Brown. I just wanted to affirm what my sister said without using so many words. They said it accurately. They testified truly that what you're doing is right on. You're hitting the center of the mark with this ministry. And what I really appreciate about how you implement this ministry of a radio show is you allow it to be a forum for all of us. It's not just you from a bully pulpit. You're letting the body of Christ interact on these things, specifically these social issues, so that we can discern the heart issues of each matter. And it's been a tremendous blessing to me. I mean, as I watch you walk it out, Mike, you're a model of love and obedience and humility, and it just blesses my heart. Some of the issues, some of the shows I listen to over and over again, I really appreciate them and the wisdom that I gain, not just from you, but from the whole body interacting. I really love it, and I thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Paul. You know what's special as you bring this up? Again, when I've been burdened to be on radio over the years, when I felt it was something the Lord was calling me to do, it was always talk radio, live talk radio. Many years ago, when I lived in Maryland, I had a short teaching show. I think it was 15 minutes a day, and we did that for a while, and that was just pre-recorded and all of that. Of course, that has its place, and that may be the vast majority of programming on Christian radio, but my burden has always been live radio. Every so often, if I'm traveling overseas or something, or we have got a special teaching we want to put out, we don't take calls. But otherwise, the whole reason for live radio is we get to interact. And I can say this, I have been greatly enriched by my callers. I have learned much from my callers. It has helped me have a more rounded perspective on many issues. When we talk about volatile issues of race and ethnicity in our culture, when we talk about volatile political issues and other things, having so many folks call in, especially within the body, who have different perspectives, different life experience, has been enriching and helpful for me, and now in turn enables me to minister to more people. So thank you, sir, for weighing in, and thank you for your kind words. 866-348-7884. Let's go over to Brooklyn. Doug, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I just want to weigh in here and say that the believers whom I know, including myself, were very much exercised about the election and now the appointment by Trump of his cabinet. So I say that both topics are called for, the spiritual and the events and problems in the world that we live in and face daily. And I would add a P.S. to that. I'd love to hear your biblical insights. They're so important, especially in our Jewish background. Thank you so much for what you do.
Hey, thank you, sir. Hey, since I recognize your voice and see Doug from Brooklyn, allow me to encourage my listeners for a minute. Doug, how old are you now?
I'm 84.
84. Have you had any health issues you've had to work through?
Well, I had fourth stage cancer 2 years ago, but that's gone now, so I'm cool.
All right, so that's a pretty serious thing to walk through as an older man. And basically, you spend your days just retired, shut in, kind of sitting around watching TV all day.
I'm so busy, Dr. Brown. I don't have a TV. I don't have time for that. And a lot of radio programs I don't listen to because I'm so busy, you know, on campus and everywhere else. And just came back from
what kind of busy? What are you doing in particular? Of course, I know these things, but for my listeners, what do you spend most of your time doing?
Well, I'm presenting the scriptures in their Jewish background, especially the ones about Mashiach, Messiah in the Tanakh, in the Hebrew Bible. And in Tennessee, I spoke in a couple of churches and a Bible study last week. I was gone. And so it's just a wonderful pleasure to do God's will, you know, and especially on campus, talking to students about the scriptures, you know, and involving their Jewish backgrounds. I'm not Jewish, and I always say everything in my faith is Jewish but me. That's the truth.
So, Doug, let me ask you to just say a word to older believers. Do you feel like there's something special that older believers have to offer based on years of experience or years of walking with the Lord?
Yes, very much. I think that when they get to be older, their experience, they think, oh, everybody knows this, but they don't, you know. And I've found that younger people look up to you as an older person who's experienced things, and also for what you can contribute, you know, spiritually to them, and especially the scriptures. So I found that, you know, you never want to sit down on the back porch like Chuck Swindoll says and start whittling. You want to keep on doing the job that God has called you to do. Because 2 Timothy says that he has called us, and not according to our works, according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Messiah Jesus before the world began. So each older person and younger person must decide what God has called them to do and do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And bless you for your example, your faithfulness to the Lord, and your humility and service and your heart to reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I appreciate you calling in, Doug. Thanks so much. 866-348-7884. Let me tell you an interesting story. When I came to faith, my dad was thrilled to see the change in my life, that I was off drugs and all of that. But he said, look, we're Jewish. We don't believe in these things. Had me meet with the local rabbi. Rabbi became a friend of mine, and he interacted with me, challenged me to learn Hebrew, and so on and so forth. Okay, so that's a whole other subject. But what happened was I began to get into the Word more and more and more and more and more and more and more. And I've memorized lots of Scripture. When I was saved for about a year, God helped me to start memorizing a lot of Scripture. I used to memorize 20 verses a day. It'd take about an hour to do it. I was so immersed in the Word. It was just always before me. And read the Word 2 hours a day, memorize Scripture 1 hour a day, always share the gospel with someone new every day, pray at least 3 hours a day, go to church most nights of the week, and otherwise involved in evangelistic activities. That's just how I was living, very excited about the Lord. My friends, very excited about the Lord. We shared life together in the Lord. And one day my father was raising some point to me, and I quoted Scripture back to him. You know, he said, why do you always have to answer with Scripture? And I said, well, Philippians 3, our conversation is in heaven. Well, actually, conversation had a different meaning then in this particular context. Otherwise, conversation in King James can mean what it normally means. But the Greek there is citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. But I answer with another Scripture. Oh, okay. Here I'm talking to my own dad, all right? Certainly, I quoted Scripture to him, and certainly I wanted him to read the Word, which he opened his heart to do. But there is the fact that it's father-son talking about life issues, and sometimes you just need to have a conversation. You need to have a conversation, and you need to talk back and forth and interact like people, right? Husbands, wives, parents, children, friends, co-workers. You need to sit down and talk things through. So, in point of fact, I realized, okay, I'm quoting Scripture, and it has its place, but he's just one of talking about life issues. So the point I'm making is this. Yes, we talk Scripture all the time here. The Friday broadcast is for you to call in and ask any question you want. Most of them are Bible-related. Thursday is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. And yeah, we talk about things going on in Israel and the like and contemporary Middle East situations, but we're always looking at Scripture on those days and Scripture through Jewish eyes and Jewish background to the Bible and stuff like that, always. And then other days during the week, we're bringing up scriptural verses or key points from Scripture. So my point is, yes, we're in the Word here. Yes, we're teaching the Word here. Yes, we get into all of these things. And we also talk about what's happening in the world around us, the world in which we live. And isn't it interesting that the Bible is so filled with practical wisdom? that the Bible is so filled with practical exhortation, that the Bible deals with lots of everyday life issues. And the book of Proverbs even talks about kings and rulers and things like that. Isn't that politics? So you get my point. You get my drift. We can be worldly political. We can be so caught up with earthly things that we lose our heavenly perspective. Or we could bring a heavenly perspective to what we do here on this earth. And that's what God is calling us to do as his people, as disciples. That's what we seek to do here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I want to take these last few minutes just to give some reflections on the political scene right now. And thank you for the calls. By the way, I did not choose not to take calls that were negative. Every call that I brought on the air was positive, affirming, encouraging, but it's not because I didn't take the negative. It's that we didn't have people calling in negatively with input or to say we differ, we think it's wrong, we think it's a distraction, we think it's getting off track, it doesn't help us, etc. I used to listen, but I don't for the following reasons. Gladly would have taken those, and I'm not saying that they're, well, if those people aren't listening, we wouldn't know because they wouldn't call to tell us they weren't listening because they wouldn't know we were talking about this. But thank you for those positive words. Again, I'm doing what I know God's called me to do. Doesn't mean I'm doing it perfectly, but I'm doing what I know he's called us to do. And the fact that it's having the positive impact on you, that's positive to know. The fact that it's helping you is positive to know. Look, I'll get to politics in a minute, but just think of moral cultural issues. Do you think I enjoy and have enjoyed for a decade plus now frequently addressing issues having to do with LGBT issues? Do you think I enjoy that? Do you think I prefer addressing the latest controversy with gay activism and Christianity on a college campus? Do you think I prefer that to saying, hey, let's just open the scriptures together? No, obviously not. But it's not for me to pick and choose what I do. It's up to me to obey the Lord. And in 2004, God began to lay on my heart, reach out and resist, reach out to the LGBT community with compassion, resist the agenda with courage. Help turn back the tide of homosexual activism, which I realized then was the principal threat to religious freedom and freedom of speech and conscience here in America. So I've sought to be obedient, and I can't tell you the degree to which around the world believers, pastors, individuals come up to me and thank me for addressing these issues. And I've had kids come up to me, 12, 13-year-olds, come up to me after church service crying, saying, thank you for addressing the oven. There's so much pressure in my school. Thank you. And the whole family coming together and say, we listen to you regularly as a family. Thank you for what you do. You know what that means to me? You know how valuable that is to know, thank God we're making a difference? Because I don't want to alienate people, drive people away. I don't want the whole gay community to hate me and despise me, and many do. For a whole lot of other topics I'd rather address, but I've just got to be obedient to the Lord. And these are issues that have to be addressed, and therefore we address them. So again, I'm in India. I did my normal meetings, 3 days of meetings in Vishakhapatnam with my dear friend Yesu Patam, flying back by way of Mumbai. I have some hours before, in between flights in Mumbai, do a special meeting, just a real small meeting with a handful of pastors and believers, maybe 20, 25 people in Mumbai, you know, and it was not an open to the public thing. It was just a small gathering. And partway through, I was addressing multi-generational ministry and that mentality and spiritual fathers and sons and so on. And they said, okay, you know, good. Now could you address LGBT issues? We need to talk to you about that. We need your input. We need your wisdom. I'm just looking at an email from another country or urgent need? Can we translate your books on these issues into Korean, et cetera? So in point of fact, this is the world we live in. This is the world we live in. And we need to be coherent. We need to have words of wisdom in life. We need to know how to address the difficulties. So here we are, by God's grace, seeking to serve you. And thank you for your prayer, for your support, for your encouragement. So I just want to give a reflection on Donald Trump. I'm a black and white kind of person. I'm an all in or not in at all kind of person. It's the way I live my life. It's the way I see things. I look at people and I could look at you as saintly or not saintly. You know, there's no middle ground. But when I'm friends with someone loyal to them, man, I'm loyal to them. And if I see there's someone that's problematic, I see, okay, that's a problem. But I understand fully that everybody is a mixture. Nobody's perfectly good or perfectly evil. There's a mixture, right? So I look at Donald Trump, and because of certain good things he's doing, certain good cabinet appointees he's making, certain positions he seems to be holding to, and having a vice presidential candidate like Mike Pence, et cetera, these are all very positive. And I think, okay, good, good, good. So maybe he's becoming more presidential. And then at the next moment, he's tweeting, you know, NBC News is being unfair and Saturday Night Live, they need to quit, you know, their parodies. And it's like, you're about to be, naturally speaking, the most powerful man in the world. And there is something to acting presidential and sending out these tweets. I mean, if I was doing it, okay, so you take my notoriety, right, compared to the notoriety of Donald Trump, quite a jump there, right? Quite a jump. If I was doing it, it would be inappropriate. And what I'm basically saying is, he is who he is. Yeah, we keep praying for God to work in his life and for him to really know the Lord and be conformed to the character of Jesus. And I believe acting more presidentially would help him in many ways. Remember, he wants to be the president of all Americans, and certain behavior will alienate many Americans unnecessarily. But what I realize is, he is who he is. He is who he is. You say, a big revelation. No, please hear me. For all of you who are thinking, okay, he's going to become more presidential, he's going to change, and he's just going to be this like knight in shining armor. In certain ways, he might be. In certain ways, he might take on causes that are important. He might go after the Johnson Amendment. He might make healthy decisions for our national security. He might appoint good justices to the Supreme Court. I hope he does all of those things. But let's just say he's going to be a knight in spotted armor, not shining armor. And better if you just set your expectations where they are. Set your expectations more more realistically as you pray for him. And perhaps you were doing that with President Obama. That maybe you had voted for him and thought he's going to be the savior figure, and then you were disappointed. Yeah, human beings are going to disappoint you. Human beings are going to disappoint you. And sometimes surprise you in a positive way as well. So, you know, I'm watching things unfold, and you think, hey, so careful here, and weighing this and weighing that, and back and forth, all the candidates and who to bring on for Secretary of State. And there's a lot of good appointments. Probably the most controversial now is the Secretary of State. A lot of good appointments and a lot that Christian conservatives can be excited about and encouraged by, to whatever degree that these various people play a role, an active role in the government, in international affairs and national affairs. But he is who he is, and that's the reality. So don't look at him as all bad or all good. Look at him realistically and pray accordingly. Hey, another reminder. Check out the latest videos and articles on thelineoffire.org. All DVDs, 25% off this week on thelineoffire.org. My bottom line today, the gospel and politics, you better believe, they intersect. Well, we are going to wade right into the controversies today, but we're bringing you clarity through the Word of God.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
One subject that I have really pursued for years now is racial unity in Jesus. And in order to do that, we've tackled controversial issues. When there have been racially charged issues, be it a police shooting or something else in the society, we've talked about them on the air, and we have learned from each other as we have talked, as we have interacted. And you've helped me to see blind spots in my life, and I hope I've helped you to see blind spots in your life so that together we can listen and learn and grow. Well, I had a guest a few months ago, Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson, author of the book The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood, a book I highly recommend. Jesse Peterson is the founder and president of Bond, his website, rebuildingtheman.com. But I have to say that when we put the YouTube of my interview with Reverend Peterson we put the interview on YouTube as an audio interview, but we posted it on YouTube as is commonly done. The comments that came his way as I looked at some of them were some of the ugliest I've seen. Here is a black man being accused by other blacks of being an Uncle Tom and a coon and you name it, and others saying, hey, he's speaking the truth. So we're going to revisit some controversial issues today with Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson. The phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And what we want to start is the question of Donald Trump and white supremacists. Reverend Peterson's written an article, is Trump giving a platform to white supremacists? So we want to talk about that. And I've written a lot about race baiting and how we cannot let the race baiters divide us. So with that in mind, Reverend Peterson, welcome back to The Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, it's good to be back with you. Thank you for having me. Merry Christmas to you and your family and all your listeners.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, sir. Let's start here. Recent surveys have indicated that race relationships are worse right now in America than they were 8 years ago with Barack Obama coming into office. Do you believe it's because Americans don't like having a black president and there's a lot of racism? Or do you believe that President Obama or his team were race baiters? Why do you feel that's the way things are now?
Without a doubt, it's because Barack Obama is a race hustler. He has used this false propaganda that racism is an issue for black people. He did that in order to divide and conquer and redistribute power and wealth. We are more divided today under Barack Obama than any other time in the history of America. And in short, I tried to warn America's about that back in 2008 when Obama announced that he was running for president. I said that he sat under Jeremiah Wright Jr. for 20 years or so. Jeremiah married, he and Michelle baptized their children. Barack and Michelle donated money to him. And yet Obama claimed to know that Jeremiah Wright Jr. was a hateful man. He is a race hustler. And that he didn't know about that. I said, Barack is worse than Jackson and Sharpton and Louis Farrakhan out, and Jeremiah Wright Jr. all put in one. And lo and behold, everything I said had come true, and even worse than what I said it would be.
All right, tell you what, we come back. Let's start here. Let's start here. Let's interact further on that point. And America more racially divided than any time in our history? What about Civil War and what days of segregation? We're going to talk to Truth Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson. We'll take your calls as well, 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire. We're talking about race issues with Reverend Jesse D. Peterson. His book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood, which I found to be a very powerful book. His website, rebuildingtheman.com. And Reverend Peterson, no stranger to controversy, as you hear by the forthright statements he makes. Let me ask you this, sir.
Yes.
Obviously, I agree that there has been deterioration in racial relations in America for quite a number of reasons in the last 8 years. And I do believe there has been race baiting and unfortunate statements that have been made by the president that have been harmful. But when you say things are worse now than any time in our history, come on, we lost 500,000 people in the Civil War. We've had times of deep segregation and complete mistreatment of black Americans and things like that. So isn't it hyperbole like that that creates more controversy than is necessary?
It's the worst time in that you have a president of the United States of America, the greatest country in the world, by the way, who is supposed to be for the people, all people, and not have a hidden agenda such as Barack Obama has and have had over the last 8 years. And it's bad because he is half black, and most black Americans voted for him twice, hoping that he would do something to solve the problem rather than making it worse. And the problem in the black community and in our country is due to the destruction of the family and the lack of moral character. And the fact that most of these blacks are not being raised by their fathers and mothers together, and they're angry about that. And instead of Barack Obama telling them to forgive their parents so that God can forgive them and they can move on, he has blamed it on police officers, white officers around the country, on white people. Whenever there was a white-on-black situation, he would call it a hate crime. The Justice Department will hold a press conference and investigate. But whenever it was white-on-black, you heard not one word from these people. And there have been knockout games where blacks were going around knocking out white folks. Within this eight-year period, they have deliberately gone into white establishments, businesses, and robbed them openly in broad daylight. They have raped and robbed and set white people on fire. You don't hear anything from Barack Obama about that because he wanted that kind of confusion to be happening toward the races. And you have Black Lives Matter, Dr. Brown, who is a far-left, liberal, godless, radical, agitative organization that was started by a bunch of black lesbians and black homosexuals and white liberals, and their intent is to destroy America, supported by George Soros. Barack Obama have blamed the police officers. And, oh, let me tell you this. Black Lives Matter is worse than the KKK in that they kill the souls of black folks, whereas the KKK only hurt the physical part of some black people. And Barack Obama invited Black Lives Matter to the White House, the heads of Black Lives Matter, rather than repudiating them. It's different than the wars that we have had in our country. This is personal, because the intent is to gain power and wealth and to literally destroy white folks.
All right. Friends, if you disagree with Reverend Peterson, phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH. That's why we do this on Live Talk Radio. Sir, let me ask you this. do you say that there is no injustice in Americans, that there is no unfair treatment in the courts, that there is no unfair treatment by the police, that everything is equal and level? We fully agree that the issue is the family. We fully agree that the breakdown of the family is the greatest concern, and that's where healing and restoration has to come. I commend you for focusing ministry work on mentoring young men and things like that and trying to help people have a solid family life. But are you saying that there's no injustice, there's no reason for black Americans to feel mistreated or to have any outrage about things? Is it all just a myth?
I say that our battle is a spiritual battle. It's a warfare between good and evil. In the scriptures, it says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities and wickedness, evil in high places. And that's, you know, that's my proof that there's no such thing as racism. Yes, there is unfair treatment in this country and in the world, because there is good and evil. And there are those who are on the side of evil, they're not going to treat you right. And there are those who are on the side of good, they're going to treat you fair. And that comes in all races. And if Black Americans were to stop being angry and hateful and come back, return to the order of God, they would see that, and they would not think that someone is treating them unjustly because of their color. They would see the spirit behind what is going on. And that's what we're trying to do, to get them to drop that anger so that they can see, especially if they call themselves Christians, we as children of God should know that our battle is spiritual and that good and evil dwells in all culture, some for good and some for evil. So it's not, and when you love what's right, Dr. Brown, when you love God and you love what's right with all your heart, soul, and might, along with nothing else, you're able to overcome those challenges and not take them personally, because you know that God is with you. But if you are not of God, you're going to whimp and whine and blame others for your problems. And that's what most Black people have been doing for the last 60 years, because it's been encouraged by their so-called civil rights leaders and others.
So in your view, men like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are what you call alchemists in your book, The Antidote. God knows their hearts. God knows what motivates them. But in your view, they've done more harm than good. Why is that?
They have done more damage to Black Americans than the KKK or even slavery, even white folk. Because, as you know, I grew up on a plantation down in Alabama. I grew up under the Jim Crow laws. And we can only go to Black schools. We were restricted as to where we lived. But not one time did my grandparents or anyone tell me that white people hated me. They said they were good and bad in all culture. And that the government, as a matter of fact, it was the government who established the so-called Jim Crow law. It wasn't all white people. White people were against that. There were many white folks against that. And instead of Al Sharpton and Jackson and most of the Black preachers telling Black Americans about that, due to the hatred in their hearts toward white folks, they're telling them that it's racism. And it benefits them. When Al Sharpton and the NAACP, the Congressional Black Caucus, and most Black preachers, Barack Obama, when they use that one word, racism, most Black people go into a hypnotic trance, and they do whatever they want these folks to do for them, which help them to gain power and wealth. It does nothing for the average Black person, the average Black family. It only helped the race hustlers.
All right, so let me ask you this candidly.
Yes.
I know your motivation and what you do. I read The Antidote. Actually, I had you on the air to talk about it, but I hadn't been able to read it before. I read it after and found it to be very, very powerful. And I find the message that you're bringing of one of forgiveness, where there have been sins against Black Americans, to have an attitude of forgiveness and then take responsibility for, here's where I'm at, how can I move forward, how can I bring healing, restoration to my family, rather than catering to anger and complaining. I found that to be very helpful. But here's my question for you, as minister to minister. When you make a statement like the moment you say racism, Blacks go into a trance, a hypnotic trance, it's so exaggerated that you're going to have many people listening, they get turned off and they won't hear the good that you have to say. So we just got a minute or so before the break, but is it really helpful to speak in such exaggerated terms all the time?
Well, I'm not exaggerating. I know it sounds like it, but when you're angry, Dr. Brown, you're separated from God, because anger is the nature of God, of Satan. It's the nature of the prince of darkness. And so when you're angry, it's easy for people to control you. And what they do is they get you angry, and once you become angry, they control you, and you can't see what's happening to you. That's why God wants us to come out of the darkness into the light. Hopefully when I come back from this break, I can tell you an experience I had just this past weekend with my own family members who think that white Republicans tried to hold held Barack Obama back from doing, from really doing what he wanted to do, and they think that the Republicans did it because they hate Barack Obama, not understanding that Barack Obama is a socialist and that the rhino Republicans didn't do anything to stop him because they were afraid of being called racist and how the media would present them. And these are Christians, and they cannot see that the Republicans did not hold Barack Obama back.
All right, listen, you can finish that. We come back. I want to get to a couple of calls. And then, well, we got a lot to do in the next eight or so. No, we got more time. Good. We'll do our best to get everything in. We still got to talk about Donald Trump and white supremacists. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm speaking about race issues with Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson, author of the book The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. His website, rebuildingtheman.com. Reverend Peterson, just to make sure that we do cover this, I know you wanted to finish that one anecdote. I want to try to grab a couple of calls as well. But is Donald Trump giving place to or empowering white supremacists? Is he giving a platform to them?
Not at all. White supremacists is the least concern of Donald Trump and America. What we need to be dealing with is black supremacists. And what is happening, Dr. Brown, the liberal media, the Democrats, the politicians, Democratic politicians, are accusing Donald Trump of the things that they are doing. It's like, if you really pay attention to these folks, they are doing exactly what they're accusing Donald Trump of doing. As a matter of fact, with Black Lives Matter, and we all know that that's a hateful group that should not be recognized as good, but should be forced to, you know, arrest them, really. But instead of doing that, the Democratic Party and the establishment promote them. As a matter of fact, they made Black Lives Matter a part of the Democratic National Convention. And had Donald Trump done that with the KKK, that would have been a major outcry about that. And that's another proof that it's not about racism, it's about evil. Because the KKK in the past has been evil. Black Lives Matter is evil. So why is it okay for these people to go after so-called white supremacists but say and do nothing about Louis Farrakhan, Al Sharpton, or Black Lives Matter? These people are hypocrites, and we need to pay attention as to how evil is operating. Evil is good at what it does, and its purpose is to deceive and destroy. And they have been, the Democrats, the ones who represent the lie, have been good at doing that until Donald Trump came along. He exposed them. He pulled the cover back so that we can see exactly what's going on, not only with the Democrats, but with the right-o Republicans as well. We should be grateful rather than listening to these lies from the enemy of good.
All right. You've made yourself loud and clear, as always. Let's grab a couple of calls. We'll start in Charlotte, North Carolina. Anthony, welcome to the Line of Fire. You're on with Reverend Peterson.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Oh, hey, thanks for taking my call, Dr. Brown. You know, I had the good pleasure of calling into your show a couple of months ago, and you gave me a scripture, I think it was Romans 13, where God had appointed those who would bear the sword in his name. And it was about a different topic, but I wanted to pose that to the Reverend, because I hear him making a lot of opinionated topics. He used the scripture for one of the things he said, yet, other than we battle not against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness. I agree with that 100%, but how he can put Barack Obama in the same breath with that and not put Donald Trump in the same breath, because the question is, if God calls leaders and appoint them for a specific reason, why does the Reverend think that God will call Barack Obama to be the president of this United States for 8 years, and what would be the purpose for that?
I appreciate the question, Anthony. Yep. Yeah. Yes, go ahead, Reverend Peterson. Since God sets up and removes kings, why did he bring Barack Obama into power?
Well, first of all, if God brought Barack Obama to power, it was to wake us up, to warn us that we're losing our country, we're losing our lives. We're headed down the road of destruction. And Barack Obama definitely did a good job of waking us up. That's why we had such an overwhelming voter turnout for Donald Trump. It was shocking to the children of the lie. But Barack Obama is not of God. Barack Obama is of his father, the devil. And a couple of examples. For the first time in the history of America that I know about, Barack Obama support homosexuality at any point. He overturned Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the military. He supports so-called same-sex marriage. He now is in support of transgender. He even wants men and women who think that they feel like a woman or feel like a man to go into the bathroom of choice, and innocent boys and girls, men and women, have to endure that and suffer that. Barack Obama support abortion at any point, even if the baby come out alive in the ninth month, what they call it, partial birth abortion, I believe. Even if the baby come out alive, let the baby die on the medical table. Do not take care of the baby. Barack Obama has created an environment that is literally, where you literally have people going out and killing innocent cops, white cops. Now, no man or no woman can be of good and support evil in the manner that Barack Obama has done and is doing.
Got it. All right. Thank you. Hey, Anthony, be sure to call in again. Let's keep the conversation going. Thank you, sir. Let's grab one more call from Mario in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah, I just want to make a comment about, you know, I do agree with the Reverend and a lot of what he's saying, but I kind of disagree about the racism part where he says that there is no racism in America. And I can respectfully disagree with that because I think part of the scripture that he was citing had to do with the forces of evil. But we have to remember that the forces of evil use people to get to people for the destruction of people.
Of course.
And so when you say the race system does not exist, you're saying that evil does not use people to get their part.
All right, yeah, so let me just jump in, only for time's sake. So, Reverend Peterson,
yes.
If you said, of course there's racism, of course there are people who hate others because of their race, because of their ethnicity, etc., but it's the devil who's behind it, and it's really a battle of good versus evil, wouldn't that be a better way of saying it?
No, because nowhere in the scripture does it say we wrestle with skin color. It says our battle is a spiritual battle. And if we know that it's spiritual, then we see where we are wrong, and we allow God to cause us to repent, and he would take that away from us. But if we think that it's physical, there's nothing God can do about that or will do about it. Because, I mean, it's so ridiculous that we think that it would be like we think that it has something to do with color. It has everything to do with character or the lack thereof, which is a spiritual thing. When you're of your father God, you're of good. When you're of your father the devil, you're of evil. And Dr. Brown, it would be as though I get angry at you right now because you said something to me that I didn't like, and Satan tell me, oh, he's white, so he's just racist toward you. And I believe that. It would change our relationship instantly, and there would be nothing you could do to convince me that it had nothing to do with my color. But if I could see spiritually that you were just correcting me or disagreeing with me, whether right or wrong, it doesn't separate us because I know it wasn't a physical, personal attack. And when people are angry, you can't convince them that they're wrong. And black people are angry, and you can't convince them that it has nothing to do with their color. It's in their mind and not white folks' mind.
All right, friends, we're literally out of time. Reverend Peterson, thanks for joining us. His book, The Antidote, the website, rebuildingtheman.com.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on the line of fire. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. Shortly, I'm going to be joined by my good friend, Reverend James Robinson. It's been some weeks since we've talked. And I want to talk about the cabinet picks of Donald Trump and what his perspective is as someone who's been a spiritual advisor to candidate Trump and now President-elect Trump, wondering what he thinks about these appointees and what our attitude should be. And what if Donald Trump is still not acting presidentially, tweeting the way he does and taking issue with things the way he does? Is that something that should be allowed to continue? Well, allowed. He's going to do what he's going to do within certain parameters. But how should we feel about that? 866-34-TRUTH. The first hour of the broadcast, I asked a question to my listeners, and I just want to share the responses with all of you. An old friend, colleague of mine, was interacting with me earlier today and saying, Mike, you don't want to get caught up with politics. And someone else sent a note reading one of my columns about why many Americans trust Donald Trump more than the CIA. And he said, this other fellow said, are you going to go from addressing spiritual issues to being a daily political commentator, something like that? And I responded to the one, the fellow that had written that question and sent it to me, a brother I've known for some years, and said, hey, for the last decade I've been doing this in obedience to the Lord. I'm doing both. I went to Italy. I went to India to minister there. The Italy conference was helping the church understand God's purposes for Israel. India, just preaching the word on different subjects, encouraging people to step out in faith and walk in the Spirit, and sending out grads who are going to be planting churches in unreached areas and things like that. That's what I was there to do. But interestingly, while in India, pastors asked me, can you please talk about gay and lesbian issues? These are big things we're facing in the church and in the society. How do we deal with these things? So the fact of the matter is, it's both and. The gospel intersects with every single area of our lives. Are you married? Are you single? Are you sick? Are you healthy? Are you rich? Are you poor? Are you going through difficult times? Are you going through excellent times? Are you in the business world? Are you an athlete? Are you a musician? Are you a young mother? Are you an elderly person in a nursing home? On and on and on. The Bible, God's Word, practically interacts with every area of life because we live in this world. And it's for us now to take the gospel into every area of life and say, how does this apply? How does this apply to the elections? Can you imagine, friends, with all the turmoil about the elections, with all the division in the church over the elections, with all of the questions about how do we vote? How can we vote for this one? I have reservations. Should I vote? Not vote. If we and others said, we're just not going to talk about this. We're just going to, you know, do an exegetical study of the Gospel of John, or we're going to go through the Psalms devotionally. And there is an absolute place for that. And thank God for those ministries that are called to do that, and that's what they do. But can you imagine how much more confusion there would be in the body? How many more people would not have insight? And that's why we get flooded with comments of people thanking us for addressing these things. Again, I'm going to be obedient to the Lord whether I get flooded with comments or not, because we get flooded with hate mail too. But it's so necessary for us as believers not to be politicized, not to be caught up with the system of this world, but rather to have our focus on how do we live in this world as followers of Jesus? How do we bring a heavenly kingdom perspective to everything we do in this world? How do we work that out? Those are the big questions. And that's what we seek to address here on The Line of Fire, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
God of light, hear our cry. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Man, I've been overseas in India, Italy, kind of like in late Sunday night, hit the ground running yesterday, but that means it has been a few weeks since I've spoken to my dear friend James Robison. Just hearing his voice in my ear is refreshing to me. So can't wait to talk to my dear coworker. James, welcome back to Line of Fire. Great to hear your voice again.
Well, yours too. I haven't really talked to you since you lost your mother and then, of course, the trip to India. I think we emailed a little bit, but I'm glad to have you back here and hope things went well for you.
Yeah, it was a blessed trip. Great time in India, great time in Italy, and so glad to see what God's doing in the body around the world. And, of course, the whole world is talking about America. The whole world is talking about Donald Trump and the elections, and everybody's looking at us now. You know, as America goes, the world goes. We have a lot of influence for good or bad, don't we?
Well, we do, and amazingly, I think because Christians have actually prayed and asked God to do those things which they consider important and in line with His Word and His will, I think we're seeing prayers answered to the amazement of many. And I would just like to caution every Christian to really seek diligently to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, as Paul cautioned and challenged in Ephesians chapter 4, and that also that we would really look out for the interests of others. I think when we see these various appointments, and many will be thrilled, there'll always be some who are unhappy, and not a one of the individuals is any more perfect than the imperfect people who are praying for them. But I think if we'll pray and ask God to help us discover His will, even His perfect will as often as possible, we're going to be blessed. And I don't think we ought to panic, and I don't think we ought to trust our numerous warriors or how strong our vote is. Although that was critically important, I think all of us are amazed at what is happening right now that most of us might not have expected. So God may be actually extending us mercy and revealing the miracles of His transforming truth and grace.
Yeah, and obviously so many things happen unexpectedly, including the evangelical vote and the role that that played. James, when it comes to the cabinet picks, obviously the newest one, perhaps the most controversial, Rex Tillerson as Secretary of State, but up to now, it looks like the Heritage Foundation, with godly Christian wisdom and leadership there, and a strong biblically-based conservatism among many of the people, they've played a key role, it seems, from what I've read and heard, in influencing Donald Trump's decisions. Obviously, he's weighing this out himself. He's talking to his advisors. But from what you understand, has there been good, godly input that's helped him to make some terrific cabinet picks so far?
I think it's exactly right. It's been amazing to everybody. And I have so much respect for the Heritage Foundation. I respect everyone that even has common sense and understands freedom principles, seeking to uphold them and to preserve them and put people in place who understand the importance of it. And I think we're seeing that. And I do think we're going to find things that some are going to say concerning cabinet picks. Well, they didn't seem to handle this right. Well, you know, we can look at Mr. Trump's life. It looks like he didn't handle a lot of things right from the Christian perspective. But all of a sudden, it's like there's been a change of heart that we are seeing the result of more in his actions than in his words. It's like his actions in life is speaking louder than anything he might say.
Yeah.
So what I think is happening is we're actually seeing the prayers of concerned people answered. And boy, it is high time we see that. And I'm very grateful.
Now, some have said that the cabinet he's appointed thus far has been more conservative than the cabinet appointed by Ronald Reagan. You were there at that time with Ronald Reagan. Now you're here with Donald Trump. What's your perspective on that?
Well, Ronald Reagan was given to us as a miracle of God, and really a lot of praying Christians had a whole lot to do with it. But he was also then surrounded by the typical establishment politicians, which they really hindered, I think, the progress he would have continued to make. And even Mike Deaver told me that before he died. And Mike Deaver acknowledged to me that he himself was one of the major problems. And he wished with all his heart that they had not blocked Reagan from hearing people with wisdom who were people of faith. I will say this, and this would be a caution to Mr. Trump and to everyone. When they get into Washington in the White House, there is a circle that is drawn around our leaders that is almost impossible, it seems, for wisdom to get in the door, to get in the room, and for people to be able to have a positive effect if they're not, quote, establishment politicos. It's like the principalities and powers of darkness prevail in that city. And I just am praying, God, do not let there be a circle, a wall that hinders truth getting through to our national leaders, to our president and our vice president. And I think we need to make that an earnest prayer and stand against the rulers and the powers in the realm of darkness and deception.
Yeah, there's obviously a battle going on that we can't know unless we were in those shoes, not just outwardly that we can see with our eyes, but the spiritual battle, the spiritual forces. It must be absolutely immense that anyone faces when they step into the White House. And in that regard, do you still feel that you have President-elect Trump's ear, or that other godly men that have been close to him through the campaign and through this transition time, do you feel that you still have his ear, or is that something now that we need to really pray about as he's taking these next steps?
Thus far, it has not only not lessened, it's actually increased. And his respect, I want to say, we might say, well, it's earned. Well, if it is, it's only because I do love him as I love all people, and I want the best for him, and I will only speak the truth, and I will speak it in love. Of all things, I will not compromise love, and I will not speak truth in any spirit other than love. If we speak with the tongues of men and angels and do not have that love, we're a clanging noise on a cymbal. We are a big racket, and we're ineffective. So the love in my heart appears to continue to capture the attention of many people you might not expect to listen, but they are.
Mm. Well, thank God. That's good to hear. And I forwarded you some communication, but I heard this from quite a few people who actually voted for Donald Trump because they knew that he had godly men speaking to him and input into his life. I was talking to another pastor, somehow he hadn't been in the loop, and he said, are there any godly men close to Donald Trump? I said, are you kidding me? And I shared your experience with him and what you shared publicly on the air, of course, and others that are there. And the fact that he's making the decisions that he's making, yeah, he's still tweeting and doing things that you kind of think, oh, that's, you're about to be the president. You don't need to go after NBC, or you don't need to go after Saturday Night Live and these other things. And yet at the same time, the people that he's been appointing, you know, Betsy DeVos saying she's going to go after Common Core, and Ben Carson in his role, and others, attorney general and other positions and military positions. People are many, many excited. And then it seems others on the other side reacting with extreme hostility, which further indicates doing the right thing. Do you have any insight into Rex Tillerson and his appointment? Certainly he was not a major one on the list until more recently, and there's a bit more controversy with that. You may not want to weigh in on this, but do you have any insight on that appointment?
He has negotiated some of the most impossible deals with incredible wisdom and skill. And I think that he is a man that we would look at with the same prayerful concern we did with Mr. Trump. He's a very gifted, very talented man, and we really want to pray that he will do the will of God in everything he does. I'm telling you, he is a skilled communicator. He's a statesman. He's been an incredible businessman. You know, one thing I regret, Dr. Brown, is that so many people talk about it. If a person's rich, like, you know, they shouldn't have anything to do with leadership. Do we want poor people trying to help poor people?
Right.
Do we want people that have never been able to succeed to be running the direction of our nation? It's so silly, the criticism that comes. I just believe that this man has incredible talent, and if he's going to be Secretary of State, let's just surround him with prayer, and we'll all do our best to speak into his life with love and in truth and hopefully caution and correction where he needs to hear it, and that he will heed it. So, my goodness, we need to be excited, Michael. We've actually been given a reprieve, and I think we've seen an extension on the future of freedom.
Absolutely. And I think, again, if we understand who we're praying for, that we're praying for someone with all of his who he is just out there for everyone to see, his strengths and his weaknesses, and yet the decisions that are being made and the people being appointed, it's if you had a step back 6 months ago and say that here's some of the people that would be appointed and would give us great hope for the Supreme Court as well. That would be very exciting. And listen, I know how hard you work behind the scenes and how many tears you shed over this. We're indebted to you because you're making an impact, and it's an impact that can go straight to the White House now. So deep appreciation from me and from many of my listeners.
Well, thank you. And let's really pull together like a family. We see something that concerns us. Let's be as concerned as the father of the prodigal. Mm. And let's pray that situation back into the center of the Father's will. And let's do it with love and with patience. Thanks, Dr. Brown.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you, dear brother. Look forward to talking off the air. All right. James Robison, thanks for those words of love and wisdom. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us once again on The Line of Fire. All right, allow me to step back and come at things from a very important spiritual perspective here as we talk about politics, culture, the world in which we live. And I want to build on the foundation of what Reverend Robison just said a moment ago about seeking unity, about working together with one another in the midst of our differences, because there are Christians still deeply divided over the Trump presidency. And in some cases, the divisions are lessening. In some cases, they're increasing. And then there's the perception of the world towards the church. So let me go to India with you. My friend Yesu Padam is an extraordinary brother, a dear, dear friend, and a man filled with spiritual wisdom. If you don't know his testimony, he was raised as an untouchable, almost died of malnutrition as a boy. A missionary from Canada found him dying on the side of the road and brought him into a hospital where he was then rehabilitated over a period of time. But rather than embracing that and thanking God for the intervention, and he just became more hostile to the system that he felt was killing his family and his people, and ended up becoming a violent communist at the age of 11, signing in his own blood to become a Naxalite, a violent Marxist communist, becoming an atheist, alcoholic, just a very lost man. Jesus appeared to him when he was in his 20s. He got radically born again on the spot and has been following Jesus with passion these 40 years or so since, and done an extraordinary work in India, planted thousands of churches, started hospitals and orphanages and schools and you name it. It's an extraordinary ministry, and not just in America, but in other nations as well. And he has a wisdom, a spiritual wisdom, by which he'll often come at things through a different door. He will often see a different way to win someone, see a different solution to a problem, see a way to serve someone that's hostile towards him, to help meet the need of someone that's been hostile towards him, and then that turns their heart. He was sharing with me, not this past trip, but I think the trip before that, about a situation of someone who was tremendously hostile to the work and threatening to the work, and then this person was holding their own meeting. It wasn't gospel-related or religious-related. It was some secular gathering, and something happened with a sound system. He didn't have it, and Yesu Padam found out about it and said, hey, use our sound system. This is a guy that's been hostile to him and opposing him and all of this. And when Yesu Padam finds out he has a need, he sends his people, we'll set up everything, we'll do this, we'll do that. And they just served the man, and it turned his heart. And he got wonderfully saved. He shared other situations with me about how he's ministered to people who are hostile or believers coming from different perspectives, and how he spent time with them and come from a different angle, through a different door, in a way that's produced amazing spiritual fruit. So I want to encourage you here, in the midst of the volatile situation that we find ourselves in America today, the political and cultural situation, I want to encourage you not just to confront issues. Someone posts something on your Facebook page that you differ with. And what are you going to do? You're going to respond, right? You know, you're interacting with someone. Well, here's where you're wrong. And you go back and forth. There is a place. There is a place for that kind of thing, all right? There is a place for that, okay? But many other times we need to step back and say, okay, why is this person upset? What's bothering them and why? And I'll give an example. Many times folks will lash out at me in real anger in the gay and lesbian community and post some of the most vile, ugly things imaginable. I mean, that's suffice it to say, some of the most vile, ugly things imaginable, and plenty unimaginable. And obviously, it's meant to attack. It's meant to lash out. It's meant to demean me. And I could think, okay, they're angry people, or this lady or this man is full of hatred or venom, and that may be the case. But I could also say, maybe they're hurt. Maybe when they hear somebody like me, they associate it with ugly treatment they've received. Maybe because I can't affirm their relationships, gay marriage, etc., that I don't affirm that they take that as personal rejection. They've been rejected their whole lives, and now this is like another straw that breaks the camel's back. And a different, you know, they're just having a bad day, and then they read one of my posts and they explode. And in other words, if I'm thinking about their well-being rather than how their post affected me or how their argument affected me, if I'm thinking, okay, how can I help them? If my whole assignment was to help them, not everyone can be helped, not everyone's willing to listen, be it a Muslim or an atheist, be it a Jewish person who doesn't believe in Jesus, be it a Christian with a different perspective, whoever it is, being a gay or lesbian, whoever I'm dealing with, if I'm thinking about me and protecting me and how this affects me and so on and so forth, okay, that's one thing. If I'm saying, how can I serve them? How can I reach them? How can I be a positive influence on them? Maybe they need to get their anger out first, and then I could say, hey, have I hurt you? Have I offended you? As opposed to just judging them negatively. There are things we have to block because of profanity and other stuff we just can't have on our social media. But my point is, in the midst of our differences with one another, think redemptively. That's what I want you to hear. Think redemptively. Ask yourself, okay, how can I help this person? If I believe they're in error, if I believe they're wrong, if I believe their position is wrong, their attitude is wrong, rather than prove that I'm right, how can I help them? It'll change your approach, friends. And in the midst of political differences and things like that, don't be insecure in your own views. Don't be insecure. Step back and say, okay, what can I do? What can I do to see their position and analyze it honestly? So rather than being defensive, I'm going to be mature and secure and say, Lord, show me my blind spots. You say to someone, hey, if I'm missing something, show me. Here's where I feel you're missing something, but you feel I'm missing something, show me. Then you can have interaction that becomes constructive rather than destructive. If it's all about me and how I feel, and how you make me feel, that's one thing. If it's about what can I do? What can I do to be constructive here and to glorify the Lord here and to advance the gospel here and to advance understanding here? Your attitude will be very different. So pray about that, would you? Hey, in case you didn't hear, all DVDs on our website, every last one of them, 25% off this week. Go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org to find out more. My bottom line today, let us pursue unity. We are one after all in Jesus.